Our text for this morning is taken from the reading, especially verse 5. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So far, the text. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters of Pinnacle Lutheran Church in Rochester, New York, and also from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Foundation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and boys and girls, God's children as well, I've been told that the most talked about subject in the four Gospels is the relationship between your heart and your wallet, money, treasures. I've also been told that the most talked about subject in the entire New Testament is the second coming. Now, I don't know who sat down and tallied up all the different subjects and how often they're talked about. Sounds like a Dr. Scare assignment to me, but I'll take their word for it. And I think there's a relationship between the two, stewardship and the second coming. St. Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, teaches us about giving of our treasures and assets to help others. And he outlines for us in these two chapters what might be entitled the principles of Christian stewardship. He begins by referring to it as a proportional giving. And he emphasizes the importance of one's attitude, that you give yourself first to the Lord and then you give your gifts. He talks about that giving is the proof of your love, of the genuineness of your faith, and that our sacrificial giving is based on the sacrifice of Jesus, who shed his blood on Calvary, that you must be prepared before you give, that there are no gimmicks in giving to the Lord, no tricks to be played on the laity, and that Christian stewardship involves pledging, in making a promise, and then fulfilling that promise. Many times I've heard district presidents, circuit counselors, and laity complain that pastors don't preach about money anymore. They don't talk about giving anymore. And some pastors have suggested that all we need to do is preach the gospel and the money will start flowing in. Well, St. Paul found it necessary to teach Christian stewardship. And why? Because of the old Adam in us. Because we would rather hang on to the treasures we have. Because most people don't realize that what they have is a gift from God to begin with. I wonder if most people really believe that God is our Father. You know, the Hebrew word for Father, Ab, means source. And that's one of the principles in Christian giving, is to recognize that God as our Creator is the source of all that we have. The Lord Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And if it's true that in the Gospels Jesus talked more about giving and treasures than anything else, we perhaps need to be teaching that as well to our laity and to ourselves. Christian giving is really not about money at all. It's about saving souls. And it involves first giving yourself to the Lord, realizing and trusting and believing in the gift of Jesus Christ and of the magnitude of God's grace and his promises for this life as well as the life to come. And that frees us to be able to give freely back to the Lord. Most people need to be taught about Christian giving, about stewardship. And I love to talk in my parishes about stewardship, reminding people why we give to the Lord. First, we give because it's God's command. He commands us to give the full tithe. Secondly, we give out of thankfulness for what Jesus did for us on the cross, for the whole gospel story. And thirdly, we give because, as a very practical manner, you volunteer to join a congregation like you would volunteer to join any other organization. And by virtue of your membership, you take on the responsibility of supporting that organization or congregation. I also like to ask my members, and I like to ask you folks today, how many of you believe the promise that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son to die for your sins? How many believe that promise? How many believe the promise of Jesus and he says, be thou faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life? How many of you believe the promise that you can call upon God in your times of trouble and he will deliver you? Well, then why don't we believe the promise that God gave us in Malachi, that if we give him the full tithe, he will open the doors of the storehouse of heaven and pour blessings. So many you won't have room enough to keep them. As a tither, I tell you, that's a true promise. Now, Ed McMahon has never come to my front door with a check, nor have I won a lottery, but my life has been blessed beyond measure as a child of God. God has kept that promise. Most people not only need to be taught about stewardship, but most of your laity will be waiting for you to ask them to give. I've been told the story that one of the first people to give a $1 million gift to the building of Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral was a Missouri Synod Lutheran businessman. And when it was inquired of him why he didn't give that to his local Lutheran church, why did he give it to Schuller, he said, quite honestly and simply, because they never asked me. They never asked. A good friend of mine on a foundation board, or in the foundation office, Wayne Price, shared with me the story of working with a couple in a prairie state that were giving a large ranch to the church through the foundation, to a couple of different ministries. And when he went to their ranch to sign the final papers, the husband and wife and attorney were meeting together, and the husband began to cry, sobbing tears. And Wayne asked him, is there something wrong? He said, it was only by the grace of God that my family got this farm a few generations ago, and through, even though of famines and other depressions and other things happening, by the grace of God, we were able to keep this farm or this ranch in the family. It's made us a lot of money. One of my children is buried on this ranch. And the man continued to cry, and he said, and I just thank God that I have this opportunity to give the ranch back to him. Because this man knew it's not about money, it's about saving souls. And you know that whenever you ask your members to remember the church in their wills, you don't have to worry, pastors, about money draining away from your parish, because most people, when they give, will remember the local parish first, and they will remember missions and the seminary second. Because it's not about money, it's about saving souls. Remember I said I think there's a connection between Jesus talking about money and giving and the second coming being the most talked about topics? Giving supports, giving underwrites the ministries that reach out. And you know, it's exciting to sit down and talk with those who have already given themselves first to the Lord about the grace of God and what he's done for them. how the Lord has sent his only Son, who gave up his power and glory in heaven, and through the miracle of the Incarnation was born of the Virgin Mary, and how he kept the law perfectly, that he could be a sacrifice for our sins, and how he was crucified on the cross and there sacrificed his blood for our sins and the sins of the whole world, and how he rose again, and how he's ascended and he's ruling in glory, and through his word he rules through the church today. And how this wonderful God is going to come again. How he comes to us in word and sacrament now, and how he's going to come again in glory soon. And these people nod and they smile and they enjoy that message. Just like in the hymn, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. And then we ask them, wouldn't it be great if there was an opportunity how you could ensure that your children and grandchildren and future generations would know this story of God's love? And they all would nod, they usually nod their heads. Well, God has given you such an opportunity through estate planning, through planned giving. And you'd be amazed how little resistance there is. Because those who have given themselves first to the Lord realize that Christian stewardship really is not about money. It's about saving souls. Saving souls. Take this wonderful institution. How much of its support comes through the ministries of the foundation and people remembering the seminary in their wills? And also through supporting current ministries, which the foundation is responsible for raising monies for our church body. Now, I know that Dr. Weinrich is a wonderful man, but I don't think he's going to work here for free. And I don't think the power company and the gas company are going to give you their services for free, and I'm certain that the maintenance is not free. It all involves money. But not really. It's about saving souls. By people giving to the seminary, they are remembering and encouraging that there will be pastors prepared for future generations so they too in the future will know of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That as pastors go out through their preaching and teaching, the Holy Spirit will work to strengthen and preserve the faith of members, and through the preaching and reaching out in the community, we will win new souls for Christ. I have to watch my time here. They told me I had 10 minutes to preach. I usually preach 25 to 30 minutes. I subscribe to the theory of the great Welsh preacher of the 19th century, George Campbell Morgan, who said, sermonettes make Christianettes. But I figure if I stop now, I can invite you all to come over and know that coffee and donuts are on the foundation, and we'd like the chance to meet and talk with all of you. But one last thought, pastors, future pastors, don't ever be afraid to talk about money with your people, about remembering the church in their wills, because it's not about money, it's about saving souls. For the glory of God, amen.